It's my turn.
Let me get this open.
So, good morning. It is so good to be back. When I walked into this building, I had such a moment of nostalgia. Wow, totally unexpected. And then I was greeted by Leah. It was like, well, I guess I'm home for now. I am so glad to be here. And my basic question is, are you ready to romp? Yeah, so let's have some fun. You ready for that?
Yeah.
I always am. I think metaphysics is fun. So let's get rolling. So first of all, my website is paulhasselbeck.com. You might want to take out your cell phones, by the way, in case you want to take pictures of slides. Leah has them, so you can get them from her. My podcast is metaphysicalromp2.com, and that can be found on all of the podcasts. Locations. And of course, my email is alberthasselbeck@gmail.com. You are now free to email me at any time to ask metaphysics questions. I have a policy. Once we've met, we're forever entangled. Right? Yeah. Okay, so is it new age or new thought? New age, new thought, unity, A Course in Miracles, and Abraham. So we got a lot of territory to cover, don't we? And it's sort of a smorgasbord this morning. What about that? Do you use that word down here, or is it just buffet? Oh, you do. Okay. Yeah, so when we think of New Age and all these things, they're large words that include lots of different things. So if I say exercise, it's not specific, is it? It covers a large swath of things. So I think the true is true of New Age. So let's start with little Charles Fillmore first. Read along with me. We have to develop in ourselves this capacity to know ourselves. Another can suggest things, but we have to take the suggestions and apply it to our own understanding. Now, isn't that freeing? Yeah, so I had a minister used to say, we don't expect you to check your brain cell at the door. In unity, we want you to bring it in and use it. And so then in his pamphlet, Pure Reason and Honest Logic of Practical Christianity, read along with me. Practical Christianity has no dogmas, nor creeds, nor are its students expected to believe anything which they cannot logically demonstrate to be true. And so that's true of all metaphysics. We want you to use it. We want you to demonstrate it. We want you to prove it for yourself. If you're not using it, you're not going to remember to use it in the future. Okay, so New Age covers lots of things. It's an inclusive term. Its origin is thought to be in the age of Aquarius. It's inclusive and diverse. Doesn't that sound like unity? It can go from astrology to tarot cards, crystals to divination, Eastern to Western metaphysics. You see what I mean? New Age is one of these catch-all terms for things that maybe you've all been involved in. Can you see one thing in there you've been involved in? I can see many. Okay, so New Thought then is a subset of New Age. Now, when I entered unity, that would have been 1987, saying New Age was not accepted. Even though we were inclusive and, However, things have changed. I like to call all those things like crystals and New Age and crystals, divination, all of that, woo-woo-licious, right? Woo-woo-licious. And so the origins of New Thought is in the 1980s, and I put up there the flavors of New Thought that we can still find. Christian Science, Centers for Spiritual Living, aka Religious Science, Divine Science, and Unity. The important thing to notice there is the word science, because the founders of New Thought looked to science, which was blossoming in the late 1800s. And so they created this belief system that runs parallel to science. Up until then, science and religion didn't mix. But in unity, it does. Charles Fillmore, I don't know how he did this, was reading about quantum physics in the 20s when it was just being developed, the 1920s. Isn't that amazing? So when we talk about God, we talk about principle. We talk about law. And isn't that what we talk about in science in many ways? So we're even inclusive of science, we could say. Okay, so the similarities of these flavors of New Thought. One power and one presence, we said it this morning. Now, the thing is, when you say there's one power and one presence, are you kind of saying it's not me? Because if there's one power, one presence, all the power you have and all the presence you have must be the divine. We talk about an inner divinity. And one of the things I've been talking about for decades now is the divine is within you, but it's not in you like a wiener in a bun. We're the wiener separate from the bun separate from the wiener. But that's sometimes how we image it. That maybe there's a little Jesus in us or something. I don't know. But the thing is, what I want you to walk away with is you are 100% divine and 100% human. We're not trying to get rid of our humanity. We don't express the full scale of our humanity, do we? All the possibilities? Nor do we express all the possibilities of our divinity. So the positive thinking, very important in unity, which connects to our power of thought, which gives us a personal power. But that's the way we used to talk about it. Now we have to say the power of our thoughts and feelings. The two travel together. In fact, it's your feeling nature that gives the energy to your thinking nature. And then, of course, there's a law of attraction, which I call the law of distraction. We'll get back to that later on. And I replace it with the law of affinity. Like I said, that's a tease. Okay, so some of the distinctions, New Age and Unity. Well, New Age talks about the universe, aka God, and that universe has all the qualities of the God of my childhood. Do you notice that? It has the ability to punish and reward, and one of those punishments comes with a thing called the cosmic 2x4. Have you heard about the cosmic 2x4? Yeah. Well, so here's the deal, folks. The cosmic 2x4 is not in the hands of God, because God doesn't have hands. It's in our hands. That's our wake-up call. In New Age, when something negative happens, we take that as evidence to stop doing what we're doing. I'm doing something wrong. I'm not going to move forward with that plan that I thought was God's plan because I'm getting kickback. That's New Age. Unity and New Thought doesn't go there. Because we know as we're moving forward, we're going to meet inner resistance and outer resistance that we call chemicalization. So when that's happening, that's the moment you want to say, I'm keeping going. So chemicalization is evidence to keep moving forward, not evidence to stop. You got that? Yeah, so that kickback, that resistance is something that happens. In fact, have you ever noticed when you move an idea that you've been holding into the outer realm of physicality, it takes a lot more energy and a lot more work. I can clean out my garage in a nanosecond in my consciousness. Please don't tell me to do it in the outer realm. Okay, and the New Age also says things like, it is what it is. You've heard that, right? People, oh, it is what it is. And it's usually said more like this. It is what it is. I gotta put up with it. There's nothing I can do about it. But that's not unity either. Here's what we say. It is what you call it. It is what you name it. It is what you use it for. So it is what it is an acknowledgement, a good one. This is what's here in my life right now. I'm not denying it. I'm not stuffing it. This is what's here. But now, how can I use even this for my good? How can I use this to bless others? How can I use this to remember I'm fully and innately divine? So, let's change subjects. A Course in Miracles. How many Course in Miracles people do we have in the room? Oh, a good number. So, Course in Miracles was my entryway into new thought. Now, I might get in trouble for saying A Course in Miracles is a new thought, but I'm about to prove how it is, okay? Well, thank you for that. Yeah. Oh, you. Yes, thank you. Yes, I like feedback, okay? When I was in a retreat department, sometimes we would have a whole group of retreatants that at the end, when we were sort of reviewing what we did and how it went, we would agree that we were actually presenting to an oil painting. Because people didn't move, people didn't comment, and then we got this great feedback, so we couldn't figure it out. All right, so both A Course in Miracles and Unity use Christian terminology, and especially Myrtle and Charles in our historic writings. Some churches don't do that anymore. Some churches do. And the historic writings use male-centric language, just like A Course in Miracles does. And for some people, that's a huge stumbling block. Both use dualistic language to explain a non-dualistic reality. So when we say something like one with God, that's dualistic. One with means there's two, but it's trying to point to something beyond the duality. And both use affirmation and denials. Have you all noticed that the whole workbook, each of those statements is a denial or an affirmation or a combination of both? Yeah. So look how similar the two are. And people would say to me when I first came in Unity, A Course in Miracles isn't Unity. And I didn't know enough about Unity to go, well, okay, so I just went, well, I'll just stop talking about Course in Miracles for a while. Didn't stop studying it, though. Okay, so here's some similarities. Like around our five basic principles. God is absolute good everywhere present. A Course in Miracles. God is all in all in a very literal sense. All being is in him who is all being. So there's an example, of Course in Miracles, referring to God as him, and yet it defines God as capital M mind, just like in some places in Unity. So the second principle, human beings have a spark of divinity within them, the Christ spirit within. The very essence is of God, and therefore they are inherently good. Well, friends, Course in Miracles ups this a little bit. Deep in your mind, the Holy Christ is in you, is waiting your acknowledgement as you. So Connie Fillmore said we have a spark of the divine within us. Truth is, you have the whole fireworks kit right there. Every last bit. But we have to acknowledge that it's here. Not because it needs it, because we need it. Okay, human beings create their experiences by activity of their thinking. I'll add feeling. Everything in the manifest realm has its beginning in thought and feeling. Of course, the miracle says, whatever thoughts you accept into your mind has reality for you. It is your acceptance of it that makes it real. Yeah, so that's a powerful statement. Science has shown us that your mind, your brain, your mind cannot make a distinction between what you imagine and what actually happens to you. Yikes. That's why we say watch your thinking and feeling. Okay. Wait, there was something else there. All thinking produces form at some level. Okay. So in unity, then, we have prayer is creative thinking that heightens the connection with God mind and therefore brings forth wisdom, healing, prosperity, and everything good. Boy, I don't like that word connection. That means you can somehow be disconnected from your divinity. Your divinity is already there. So I like to think of prayer as the way in which I synchronize my humanity with my divinity. It's the way I synchronize my humanity with my divinity. And I need to do that from time to time when I'm running amok from my humanity. It happens. Okay, true prayer must avoid the pitfall of asking to entreat. Ask rather to receive what is already given, to accept what is already there. In unity, we have a little distinction. We claim what's already there. We put a demand on what's already there. And then finally, and probably the most important of the five principles, knowing and understanding the laws of life, also called truth, are not enough. A person must also live the truth that he or she knows so we can prove it to ourselves. We're not just studying this stuff to clutter up our consciousness. We want to apply it. A Course in Miracles says, a theoretical foundation such as the text provides is necessary. Yet it is in doing the exercise that will make the goal of the course possible. So the course has these 365 lessons, which are application. And you don't even have to believe them, you just have to do them. And it's what's that word? Yes, that. Changes the consciousness. It's really phenomenal. Okay, so now let's look at some of the distinctions, because those are important. There aren't many, but there are a few. One I don't have on here, A Course in Miracles is not about the miracles that Jesus did or the miracles you might be able to do. The miracles are about a change in consciousness. So we could say in Course in Miracles, that change in consciousness is pretty much equal to the term of forgiveness that we have in unity. Because in unity, forgiveness is giving up our error thoughts and feelings about somebody and replacing them with that divine awareness. So, a couple more things. The ego. Well, in A Course in Miracles, the ego is a wrong-minded attempt to perceive yourself as you wish to be rather than as you are. In some unity circles, the ego is the new devil. Yeah, yeah. And I will fully admit there are adverse aspects of our ego which get us in trouble, okay? But this is what Charles Fillmore said about the ego. By reason of its divinity, it makes and remakes as it wills. It goes on to say that's the ego's greatest strength and greatest weakness, because we get to decide how we're showing up moment to moment. Right? And we mostly want to show up in good shape, in good ways. So, in the unity philosophy, the ego isn't the total bad guy. There's aspects of our ego. In fact, it was your ego that got you here this morning. Yeah. So then let's talk a little bit about body and healing. There's a little distinction here. In Course in Miracles, changing of consciousness is the goal. Healing the body is simply an effect of that goal. Now, unity is about changing consciousness, except when it comes to the body, the healed body is the goal. Have you noticed that? The healed body is the goal. Changing the mind is the means to get to the goal. So you see the subtle shift? Yeah. So Abraham Hicks, how many people Abraham Hicks do we have in here? Wow, we have quite a few. Okay, so look, I can't please all the people all the time, and I can't displease all the people all the time. So I might say a few things here, so just take a deep breath, all right? I only want you to understand. But Abraham Hicks is channeled by Esther Hicks, and Abraham isn't a single thing. It's a group of obviously evolved non-physical teachers. One of these entities is said to be Jesus. And it talks to and about the vortex, and the vortex is source energy that we want to align ourselves to. So here are the teachings, and a lot of them sound like unity. You are a physical extension of that which is non-physical. Yeah, we can kind of go with that. You are here in this body because you chose to be here. Like that idea, can't prove it, but you know what? That's what spirituality and religion does. It teaches us premises, and most of them aren't provable. The basis of your life is freedom. The purpose of your life is joy. I can really buy into that. You are a creator. I buy into that. Each of us is a creator. You create with your every thought and feeling. Don't leave out your feeling nature. Anything that you can imagine is yours to be or do or have. Here's the caveat. In your consciousness. I can think and dream and feel of being this amazing football player, and that ain't gonna happen. That ain't gonna happen. Because what is often overlooked is the laws of physics, all of the laws of science, all the constants of science are right in the same basket with the spiritual laws and the spiritual principles. They have the same qualities. So we can't really overcome physical laws, just like you can't overcome the spiritual law of the law of mind action. As you are choosing your thoughts, your emotions are guiding you. I'll agree with that. The universe adores you, for it knows your broadest intentions. I love that. That's really good. I'm not going to say, well, what was that about? Relax into your natural well-being, all is well. Now, wouldn't that be a great place to live from? Yeah. Your natural well-being. I prefer the word well-being over health because it's more all-encompassing. You are a creator of thought ways on your unique path of joy. Thought and feeling ways. Actions to be taken and possessions to be exchanged or byproducts are byproducts of your focus on joy. That's an interesting concept. I hadn't read that for a while. I'm going to work with that one. You may appropriately depart your body without illness or pain. I'm on board with that one. Okay, I'm on board with that one. You cannot die. You are everlasting life. But your body sure can. Okay? All right, law of attraction. Here we go. The law of attraction is name given to the belief that like attracts like, and that by focusing on positive or negative thoughts, one could bring about positive or negative results. First of all, that ignores opposites attract. Let's just keep that in mind, okay? And then Louise Hay said, our thinking creates and brings to us whatever we think about. Now, in unity, the law of attraction is really the law of mind action. And it works in your consciousness. As spiritual laws pertain to the realm of your consciousness, they don't pertain to the outer realm. Just like the laws of electromagnetism pertain to electromagnetism, but do not pertain to quantum physics. Does that make sense? So we have all these laws and principles and constants that have their own area of function. So thoughts held in mind produced after their kind is a meme, and it doesn't give enough information. It's more like thoughts held in mind. I'll do it this way. When you read a law, put it in first person. My thoughts that I hold in my mind with feeling produce more and similar thoughts and feelings in my mind. Are you feeling difference in that? It's kind of how you can claim a law. But really. So the law of mind action, the law of attraction, maybe does not operate the way we were taught. So here's an example. Teenagers. Okay, I don't need to say more about that, do I? I'll just pass that one over. Yellow Volkswagens. So I can think and feel and visualize yellow Volkswagens till I'm blue in my face, but it's probably not going to show up in my driveway. And the thing about laws, they're always operating. You cannot not follow them. So this is where I get to the law of affinity. It's my preferred name for this law. So when I am thinking and feeling about having a yellow Volkswagen and I go for a drive, what do I see? Yellow Volkswagens. Because I have created a filter in my consciousness that's looking for that. And so now I have an affinity for yellow Volkswagens. I might go to a Volkswagen dealer to look for a yellow Volkswagen. I may seek a loan, but I have to have the affinity for all those things. Yes? Yeah. So it works more like affinity. Instead of attracting things and people to us, we attract ourselves to things and people. Do you see the distinction? Yeah. Try it on. It works for me. Okay, then what about Jesus? What about Jesus? So look, folks, we think he had the best and purest consciousness of his time, don't we? And yet, he was persecuted and he was crucified. So, as I understand the law of attraction, as it's traditionally taught, he must have that vibration within him. I don't think so. So remember, we have to develop in ourselves this capacity to know ourselves. Know ourselves. Know who you are. That's your humanity. Know what you are. That's your divinity. And when you do this, you enter in to the truth that sets you free. It's the truth about yourself. Thank you.